888-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord and all of his hosts. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to another session of Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints right here on your Real Love Station, 88.1 FM. I'm your host, along with my beautiful wife of 26 and three-quarter years, none other than in the person of
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And I tell you what, we're excited, brothers and sisters. Truly, we can say that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're certainly going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we are delighted to come to you on this beautiful day, wherever you might be, in your houses, in your places of confinement, your hospital rooms, your convalescent homes. Maybe you're just traveling up and down on the highway. We're just delighted to come and be with you. And I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the first. He's the last. He is our everything.
Yes.
Amen. And I'm excited about that. I'm still excited. I'm still in love. And you know, there's an old song that the saints used to sing years ago that says, "He gets sweeter as the years go by."
Oh, yes.
But I tell you what, because we're in the lateness of the hour, he gets sweeter as the seconds go by.
You better believe it.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter. Even in the midst of all of the things that are unfolding each and every day, that's one of the joys and one of the benefits about being in Christ Jesus, no matter what unfolds around you. And now I can understand, Minister Mildred, how Jesus was able to go into the bottom of the boat, even during the storm, and go to sleep.
Oh, God.
Because he had faith in his Father.
Come on.
And when you've got faith in God, when you've got faith, Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, the Father now is shifting things to my hand.
My Lord.
And so now that we understand that there's been just a somewhat of a spiritual shift in the paradigm, it's all to the glory of the Father through the Son. And so now we look to Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
So on that note, we're going to ask Minister Mildred to share a scripture with us, and we're going to go before the Lord as always in prayer. The Word of God says men ought to always pray and to not faint.
Amen. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Heavenly Father, once again, God, we come before you, thanking you and praising you for what you've done. Lord, thanking you and praising you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. Truly, God, you're a good God. Lord, we thank you because you've been mighty good. Lord, we thank you because you woke us up this morning and started us on our way. Lord, it's a blessing to have a mouth to even pray, Lord, to have a tongue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I give you praise, God, because you didn't have to do it. Amen. So many went on. Hallelujah. But you left us here. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We just thank you for all things today, God. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given us. Lord God, we just thank you because you're worthy to be praised. Lord, there's none like you. There's none like you, Lord, today. And we give you praise and we give you glory today. Wonderful Savior, yes, you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to look on your people everywhere throughout this land, Lord God. So many are sick. So many are going through. So many are in need. So many lack, Lord. But we give you glory today, God, because there's none like you nowhere. We give you glory today, God, because we can trust in you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Praise be to God. I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, as always, we count it a privilege as well as an honor to come and be with you. And listen, if you're ever around the Natchez area, if you're around Faraday, if you're around Jonesville, if you're around Vidalia, if you're around Fayette, wherever we can be heard, if you're right there in Natchez, we would love to invite you to come be our guest at the One Way Apostolic Deliverance Temple, 111 Cloverdale Road, right in the heart of Natchez, right on Cloverdale Road.
Natchez, Mississippi.
Natchez, Mississippi. Well, I didn't say Natchez.
You said Natchez, but not the state.
Okay, because there is a Natchez right here in Louisiana also.
Yes.
Okay, no, Natchez, Mississippi. We'd certainly love for you to come be our guest. We have Sunday school starting at 10 o'clock a.m. Morning worship begins at 11 o'clock a.m. We have prayer because of the daylight saving times, and it gets dark so quick. We've changed our time to 6 o'clock prayer, corporate prayer, every Monday at 6 o'clock. Bible study has been changed to 6 o'clock also because sometimes you just don't like to be out there. You know, it starts getting dark around 5 o'clock now, Minister Mildred.
Oh, yeah.
So we try to get the people in and let them come in and share in the Word of God and get them out in a timely-like manner. But brothers and sisters, if you are around, we certainly would love to invite you to come be our guest. You know, Vidalia is only a hop, skip, and a jump. Faraday, that's only a hop, skip, and a jump. Jonesville, that's only a hop, skip, and a jump. Hey, guess what, Alexandria? It's only a hop, skip, and a jump. I come here every Saturday, me and Minister Mildred, and it's only about an hour and 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. And you know what? You'll enjoy the scenery. Just talking to the Lord, amen. Then we come back again on a Tuesday, and amen. So it's not that far, amen. It's just as far as for me to come to you as it is for you to come to me. And so we all do it to the glory of God. Amen. So on that note, Minister Miller, anybody we want to say a howdy do to before we go ahead on in Jesus' name?
Amen. We just like to say God bless you to all the ones that are faithfully be with us and blesses us and just encourage us. And we just thank and praise God for you. And you know who you are, and we just want to say good God bless you to all of you. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, we've been in the arena. Amen. We shall continue in Jesus' name. We've been in the arena of marriage and the family. We've been in the arena, amen, of making God's people aware truly that we are in the last days and that we must stay focused. You know, many of you that have that GPS, that navigational system in your vehicles that kind of descend you in the direction that you need to go. And you know what I do? Sometimes I get a little comical with my wife. I say, sometimes when those things be telling, and then those things talk to you too. It talks to you. And it'll tell you, make a left turn. And then I'll tease with my wife and says, no, your other left, dummy.
Yeah.
And she said, that thing don't say that, do it. I said, no, it really doesn't say that. But you know what? That's the way the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our navigational system, and sometimes it's telling us to go one way, and we go in the opposite direction.
Amen.
In which that we're saying, and then it's telling you, no, that's not what I said. I said go this way, and you've went in a totally opposite direction. But you know what? We've got to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. Jesus said this thing. He said, you know, my sheep know my voice. Now, the thing is, we got to make sure that we're his sheep.
That's it.
Amen. We've got to make sure that we're walking in the confines of the move of the Spirit in our life today, because as I said before, there are those of us that are thrilled with the Holy Ghost, and then there are those of us that are actually filled with it. And you know what? One thing about it, when the Bible says you're born again, true enough, you don't get it overnight. You don't get it overnight. Ask Nicodemus. He had been in the council with the Sanhedrin. He had grown up in religion all of his life.
Yes,
and
Lord.
He still could not comprehend what Jesus is talking about. You know what? We can have theological degrees. We can have honorary degrees. I mean, we can meet and went to Harvard, Yale University. And we think because of the scholastic achievement that puts us in a prime position or puts us in a preeminent position so that we can expound the scriptures. Well, Simon the Sorcerer did that too.
Yes.
And he was operating in sorcery and witchcraft. But the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that when the disciples began to expound the word of God, guess what they said? They took note that these ignorant men had been with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus makes the difference.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
The
anointing. Not the theological seminaries.
All
amen. Not the higher institutions of learning.
Yes.
Amen. But the actual indwelling of God's Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Will bring the spiritual metamorphosis that is needed to change your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I've seen people that have been addicted to drugs, mind shot. Amen. Been in mental institutions, but when the Holy Spirit came in, it brought a spiritual metamorphosis to them until they were just, that you know what, where they used to kick conjunctions and split verbs, they began to articulate the word of God with such accuracy and precision until it would blow your mind, Minister Mildred, and that's what the Holy Spirit can do.
Oh, yes.
Would you agree?
I know the Holy Spirit does that, and I thank God for it, and without it, amen, Bishop, but truly, there's a lot of people out there just out there, but without the Holy Ghost in their lives, they're not going to be productive in that way. Amen. You might be talking and sounding good, but truly transformation comes when the Holy Spirit has its way in your life.
Without the Holy Spirit there, brothers and sisters, we are fighting a losing battle. Amen. And let me tell you something. Even when it comes to people coming to the Lord, you know, there's a battle. And I can honestly tell people that, you know, that's why we have to pray and fast.
Yes.
Amen. Because spiritual wickedness is operating.
See?
And it's not only just operating amongst the sinner. It is trying to work its way back into the confines of the saint. Amen. What do you think the Bible is all about? When you read the epistles of Paul, mm-hmm. do you think that Paul is just talking to people that are still just no good sinners? Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. He's talking to saints who are bringing lifestyles that are not conducive, that are not conducive for holiness and righteousness. I mean, think about that. I mean, people talk about, well, you know, all you do is talk about sin, sin, sin. Well, what do you think Paul was telling people?
Sin.
He was telling them to come out of what?
Sin.
He wasn't telling them to come out of the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts.
Sin.
He was telling them to come out of things that would not please God. And so when we are still caught up in things that are not pleasing to God, brothers and sisters, then you know what we do? We're digging a rut. You know, I lived in Chicago. And when it snow and people get stuck in a snow rut, there ain't but one thing that they could do to get them out. And sometimes if they dug the rut too deep, they have to call a tow truck.
Yes.
They're going to get them out. Now, those of us that live in the South, we can get stuck in mud. And if we dig a rut too deep, we're going to still have to call a tow truck. Well, it's the same way in your walk with Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Amen. If you dig too deep a rut of sinful living while you're naming the name of Christ, you're going to need something to get you out of that.
Amen.
You're going to need. And that's all the Apostle Paul was sharing with God's people, that we cannot name the name of Christ and live a sinful lifestyle. Now, there are many people out there expounding the word of God, and they're telling people that, you know what, once we're saved, and that's all there is to it.
But
my question is this, brothers and sisters, and this would make God an utter lie.
Hey.
This would make God an utter lie. He said, he that is filthy, in the end of Revelations, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Why would he say that?
Mm.
Because when Jesus come, it's going to be too late. Ain't going to be no deathbed salvation.
No.
The Bible says, as a tree fall,
that shall it lie.
It's going to lie that way. That means if I'm a liar, when I die, when he raised me up on resurrection day, guess what I'm going to be raised as?
That's a lie.
If I'm a fornicator, when I die, guess what I'm going to be raised up with on resurrection day? If I'm a homosexual, a lesbian, a pedophile, a pervert, whatever I am, on resurrection day, that's what I'm going to be. Now, here's the thing that I want to remind God's people, too. And if God allows the death angel to take you in that position that you're in, I know this preacher. Praise be to God. And he would be up in the pulpit preaching every Sunday, talking about how good God is and how God is loving and caring and this, that, and the other, and how God, amen, wants to get us out of sin, and how, amen, we can't live a life of sin. But can I tell y'all this? He was found in a hotel with a prostitute, and he had died, got with that prostitute, and he died. Listen at me.
Mm.
Now, you all that know God, and if you really have the Holy Spirit, where do you think his soul is going to go when judgment comes?
We don't have to think, Bishop.
No. I want to ask my audience
because
I know where he's going. But but now this is to shock somebody back into reality because we got too many preachers, got people thinking that they can live sinful lifestyles.
Oh, my God. My God.
And then all of a sudden that they're going to have this transformation to take place.
No,
and it's not going to take place.
It will not.
As a matter of fact, when we go to the word of God, Minister Miller, go with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. And we're still.
And they're saying, while you're saying that, Bishop, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's just like Jesus just came and his dying for us. It meant nothing if that's the case.
Wait.
But I think and praise God that the word of God say something all the way different.
Well, the thing about it is that when you really understand the sincerity about serving God, when you understand the sincerity of what his spirit came to do, when you understand the sincerity of what he giving his life for was truly about, then you know. But the problem is this. Most of us are caught up in religion
instead of a relationship
and not the spirit of the Most High God. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you've been in religion all your life and you don't even understand what being born again is truly about. And even in today's society, we have a lot of people that have been in religion so long until they really don't understand. That's why the church is weak.
Amen.
That's why the church is not thriving in power, because we really don't understand what the born again experience is all about. And Paul had the same problem. Mm. Peter had the same problem, trying to get people to understand the power that worketh in us is greater than the power that once used to direct us. Mm. Go with me, Minister Miller, to the book of Ephesians.
Yes, Lord God.
The book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Second chapter of Ephesians. Praise be to God. Amen. And last week we spoke about being justified by faith. Amen. You're justified by faith, not by the church you join.
That's right.
Not by giving the preacher your hand. You're not justified by that. Man, brothers and sisters, you're justified through your born again experience, repenting of your sins, being baptized into the authority of Jesus Christ, submerged in water, having the name of Jesus Christ called over you in water baptism, because the word of God clearly tells us in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the authority comes at.
Amen. Okay?
What does it say, Minister Mildred? Chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says what?
And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin.
Can I just share something with you? Quickened means you've been made alive now.
Made alive.
Brothers and sisters, that spirit, that Holy Ghost that is now coming to your life has brought a change. It has brought a quickening inside of you. If we will, we can equate that to when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus.
Yes,
and he had to tell Martha, she said, Lord, I know my brother's going to live again in the resurrection. And Jesus said, woman, I am
the resurrection.
I'm the one that changes you from a sinful lifestyle to a holy lifestyle. You're looking at it. You're looking at the one that can bring the change in your life.
Oh, bless your name, God.
Don't get me wrong. I know that the 12-step program can help, but look, I'm the one that brings the change.
Jesus.
I know they've been taught you about a higher power, but I'm the one that actually brings the metamorphosis. I bring the change in your life.
Oh, bless the name
of
God.
Don't get me wrong. Grandmama's prayers are good. Mama's prayers are good, but baby, I'm the one that brings the change.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one that can help you to stop drinking and smoking and whoremonging. We got a lot of people out there that talk about they're in Jesus Christ, but we got preachers that are shacking up and talking about they're saved. We got evangelists out there that are shacking up and talking about they're saved. That ain't saved, brother, sister. That ain't saved. Amen. Jesus brings a change in our life.
Amen.
Well, preacher, we don't get it overnight. Mm. No, we don't. But I tell you what, if Jesus come and you in that mess, you ain't going to get what you thought you was going to get either.
Amen.
You're not going to get the eternal life that you're thinking about.
And because basically you're saying, Bishop, once, you know, you come into the knowledge of God, you don't want to keep on doing the things that you was formerly doing. You want to stay, you know, please our Father. And by pleasing him, you know, we're going to walk up right before him.
In other words, if we leave out of a sinful lifestyle, if we leave out of a perverted lifestyle, if we leave out of a demeaning lifestyle and we go back to it, it is equated just like a dog
returning
to its vomit. And we know that vomit is something that is expelled.
Mm.
Ain't nothing cute about vomit.
No, it
is violently expelled from your body. I ain't never seen a cute person vomit.
Mm-mm.
Never. And you're not going to see one. There's a lot of gagging and heaving and hoeing and this, that, and the other. Now, if that stuff came out of you in a violent-like way, and then you go back to that.
My God.
You say Christ delivered you from sin, and then you go back to it. Something wrong.
Amen.
You know what you are? You're reprobate.
Yes.
And we got a lot of reprobate folks sitting right up in the church. Watch this. Jumping.
Shouting,
speaking in tongues,
still
adulterating, fornicating, homosexualizing, lesbianizing, doing perverted things, caught up in pornography, caught up in bestiality, caught up in all type of perverted lifestyles that God does not condone. But going to the word of God, it says, you who were, he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and what else?
Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience.
So if I come out of a sinful lifestyle and I begin to become disobedient to the Spirit, then that spirit of disobedience will overtake me, and I will find myself doing the same things that I used to do when I was out there in the world. See, the devil had control of us in the world. When God causes the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to send an eviction to Satan and say, look, take your hands off of Bishop Townsend. Take your hands off of him. Now I've been given the ability to make a conscious decision that, Lord, I want to live for you now, and everything that is wholesome and righteous in your sight, I want to do it. And so Satan's hands have been taken off to me. But now if I don't stay connected to the vine,
all right,
if I don't stay connected to Jesus, I will slowly do just like the children of Israel and find myself slipping back into debauchery. That's what has happened. Many of our clergy, many of our leaders, many of our pastors, bishops, apostles have slipped back into debauchery. Many first ladies, many evangelists have slipped back into debauchery.
And that's the one thing that we have to do better as leaders is to be the role models and to speak up concerning these things so the others can see and know the way and won't have an excuse.
Jesus sees everything we do.
That's right.
Even in your bedroom. And somebody said, well, Pastor, I've always been taught that marriage is honorable.
Yes, it is.
And the bed is undefiled.
Yes, it is.
It is when God is in it.
Yes, it is.
But when God ain't in it, it becomes defiled.
Come on now.
God was still with the children of Israel in the wilderness, but their disobedience defiled their trek.
Amen.
It defiled their expedition to get to the promised land. And so in your quest to be what God wants you to be, you got to make sure that you're not defiling your expedition to get there, because you can do it. Why do you think he said that the only people that made it to the promised land were Joshua and Caleb? Because their spirit was right. And when our spirit ain't right and think that we can do it any kind of way, that's why Caleb was, Korah and Dathan were destroyed in the wilderness, because they thought that they could just do it any kind of way. I assure you, you can't. God's got rules and regulations.
That's it.
As saints of God,
we have to obey him.
And I think what then happened is we then took the word Christian, and Christian is so liberal now.
Exactly, wide open.
But the Bible said God is coming back for, he's coming back with tens of thousands of his saints.
Yes, Lord.
Did you know that Christianity, even when Christopher Columbus got ready to install Christianity over there into the to the Native Americans, those that did not accept it, they killed him in the name of Christianity. See, the word Christian is a little too loose for me.
Loose, broad.
But there's something about a saint, because the Bible says that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, they said that many of the saints that slept in the earth got up and began to walk and show themselves.
Hallelujah.
There's something about a saint that lets you know the reality of Christ inside of them. But what else does it say in verse number 3, Minister Mildred?
Among whom also we all had conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and all the mind, and were by nature the children wrath, even as others.
You see what the Apostle Paul is sharing with the people at Ephesus, that this lustful flesh desire is taking over much of the body of Christ today. You see, when you was in the world, you know, pornography wasn't no big thing. And most of the filth that you learned in pornography, you brought it into your married life. Jesus didn't teach you that.
No, he didn't.
Can I be honest with you? Jesus didn't teach you that filth that most of people do now, that they say, oh, as long as you married, you can do. A lot of that stuff was incorporated from the Romans.
Yes.
And Paul even addresses that also. He had to let the saints know that that came into sanctification and holiness. Even in Rome, there are things that you just don't do. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself professing to be wise.
And
you'll still
fool.
Be acting fool. As a fool. Go with me to the book of Romans real quick, Minister Mildred. We got about 4 minutes, I believe. Okay. Romans 1, starting at verse number 25.
Number 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie?
Hold it right there. That's what we got going.
Change
there is
the
a spirit of lie that is causing people to think that we can live any kind of way do any kind of thing.
No,
can't. That is a spirit of error that is trying to turn the truth into a lie. But you know one thing I tell people? You ain't got to defend the truth. The truth will defend itself.
It's going to stand on its own
leg. And the truth will always outlive a lie.
Come on
they
now.
Tried to say Jesus wasn't real, but you know what? The truth of who he is still alive today.
I know he is.
What else, Minister Mildred? that they changed the truth of God into a lie and did what?
Worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever.
Number 26 says what?
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections.
Now, you have to understand, vile means corrupt.
Corrupt.
Something that's not pleasing
to him,
to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even in the form of sexuality that Paul is addressing the Roman church, because the Romans were very instrumental in performing orgies, all type of debauchery type gatherings together. And they did that in the name of their other gods, Zeus. And gods of Olympus and things of that nature. So so they, in their paganistic worship, began to do vile affectionate things.
Yes.
And Paul is reminding them people that, you know what, you can't be vile even when it comes to your sexuality.
Come on.
What else he say?
For even their women.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Even the sister girls?
Sister girls.
They start getting freaky too?
Yes, they did.
That ain't what God wanted.
No, he didn't.
That's not what he wanted.
Didn't change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Now, wait just a minute.
My
correct me
God,
if I'm
my
wrong.
God.
I didn't go to Harvard.
Mm-mm.
And I didn't go to a Grambling. But if something is natural, it can be
unnatural. Yes, it can.
Now, when he began to talk about women, we're often referring women to sexuality.
Mm.
And so even the sister girls themselves then got perverted.
Yes, Lord.
And began to do things that was outside, listen at this, the boundary line that God set.
Yes, Lord.
Brothers and sisters, in our sanctification and holiness, there is still boundary lines. You can defile your bedroom.
Mm.
You can defile your walk with God.
Yes, you can.
You can defile your sanctification. You can defile your ministry. You can defile your ecclesiastical office.
Oh, God. My God, my God. It's so true. Amen.
Samuel defied his. I'm sorry, Eli.
Eli
defied his ecclesiastical office.
Yes.
And it cost him his life.
Yes, it did.
Praise be to God. Judas defiled his apostleship.
Mm.
And it cost him his life.
Oh, God.
And so, brothers and sisters, there is a such thing as natural.
And unnatural.
And un.
So true.
Natural.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what? If you get mad at Bishop Townsend, it's because that a natural affection is in you.
Amen.
And it don't want to come out.
That spirit don't want to come out.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the Bible said they that gladly received the word were the ones whose lives were transformed and changed.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
you see, when
Lord.
It comes to Jesus, I want everything that Jesus got for me. Amen. What else, Minister Miller? I got about a minute.
Okay, 27 say, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was met.
Simply saying is that, you know what? What you put out, you're going to get back.
Going to get it back.
If you put something sinful out, you're going to get something sinful back in your life.
What you're
gonna, in other words, you sowed it in your body, you're going to reap it back in your body. What
That's
else, Minister?
Right. Number 28 said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not often convenient.
You see that? Now you can say it's okay. God say, oh, it ain't convenient for you to operate that way. It's wrong for you to operate
wrong.
That way. Number 29 say what?
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate.
Debate. They want to fight with Bishop Townsend about this word.
They're going to debate it.
They want to debate with you about what's right and what's wrong. But you know what? God's word ain't debatable.
No, it's not.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
What else?
Deceit.
Uh-huh.
Malignant whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without national affection.
There go that natural affection again. See, if you're natural, you can get unnatural in your affection. What else?
Who knowing the judgment of God.
Wait a minute. Who knowing the judgment of God, what?
They that which commit such things.
Oh, man, wait. Now, here go the scary part, y'all.
Oh, God.
Here go the defile part.
Whoa,
they that would do
God.
Such things are what?
Are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
My God. Brothers and sisters,
Ooh,
we got to
God,
go.
God, what a word.
We'll
what
be around 762-704-0630. We love you in Jesus' name.
Goodbye.
For holiness. Praise the Lord. We pray that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. And if it has, you can correspond with us by simply writing us at
111 Cloverdale Road, Natchez, Mississippi, 31920. That is 111 Cloverdale Road, Natchez, Mississippi, 39120.